In this episode, we talked to two Americans who moved to Brazil and are now leaders.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hey, welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum. I am the host of this podcast, and so you'll probably hear my voice a lot. If you're new to Leading LDS, I welcome you. This is the place to be for all things leadership in the LDS Church, and we like to talk with people across the world who are experiencing leadership in the church, and it's really cool when you get to go to another country, and that's what we're doing today. We're going to Sao Paulo, Brazil. I always mess up how to say that city, but nonetheless, you know where I'm talking, and we talk with Kaylee and Neil Mortensen, who are from Phoenix, Arizona, but now find themselves in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and are serving the church. He's in the bishopric, and she is the young women's leader. And really fascinating discussion. We talk about just mainly the different cultures, what it's like living there, what it's like being a member there, the church is like. As many of you know, Brazil is a very strong country in the church, and there's lots of members there, and it's growing crazy. They have temples and lots of missions, and so they do have a good experience in the church, and it's fun to learn about the differences that they are experiencing down there in the church. Even though it's the same church, there's different problems, different leadership problems, but also a lot of the same problems. So here is my interview with Kaylee and Neil Mortensen in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We're going way down to Sao Paulo, Brazil with Kaylee and Neil Mortensen. How are you two?
Doing great. How are you doing, Kurt?
Good. Now, you two are, how long have you been down in Brazil? I don't pick up an accent here, so.
Yeah. No, I've been down in Brazil this round for almost 2 years. I arrived here in September of 2014. And Kaylee, when did you get here?
It was January, end of January 2015.
Okay. And how long have you been married then? I mean, you were married by before you moved down there, right?
No, it was actually an interesting story. So yeah. Right before I came down to Brazil, proposed to Kaylee. Yeah. And she said yes, knowing that I'd be going to Brazil, and I figured I had to catch her before I left. And I was down in Brazil for about 3 months.
While I was planning the wedding.
And nice. We got married at the end of December, and I came back to Brazil, and she finished up her visa, and she took a lonely flight down to Brazil to meet me. And she came here in January, and that was a great time to see her come down here.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're going to rewind a little bit, but just in one sentence, what on earth are you doing in Brazil?
Good question.
Yeah. I took an assignment down here, a job rotation for a couple of years. So.
Yeah, well, he applied for England, and then they found out he spoke Portuguese because he served his mission down here. So they're like, oh, you speak Portuguese. Nope, you're going to Brazil.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So, and you work for the CIA then?
No, he
can't tell you.
No, I don't work for anything that exciting. I work for a large insurance company.
About as boring. Your cover anyways. All right.
About as boring as you can get.
Yeah. He's an underwriter. Nice. Air quotes.
Nice. Wow. Okay. So, rewind a little bit, Neil, where are you originally from?
So I'm from Phoenix, born and raised, and
pretty traditional LDS family in Phoenix?
Yeah, I would say so. And actually, being in Phoenix, my dad was born in Phoenix, my grandpa was born in Phoenix, so I was one of the few, you know, true Phoenix natives. And, you know, family, all the family for the most part, as long as I know, has been members of the church back to from pioneer times.
So. Yeah.
So what, being a youth in Phoenix, growing up in the church, what's that like? Anything stand out that would make it unique?
In Phoenix, no. I think Phoenix is very common to a lot of other places. There's a lot of members. You know, it's pretty robust, and there's a lot of activities going on. So,
Yeah, and as far as far as Mormon culture, it's just pretty much Southern Utah, right?
Yeah.
There's lots of members down there.
Yeah, it's not Utah, but right. It's a little bit holier, I would say.
Oh, boy.
Well, this conversation's over.
No, you can edit that out.
I'm just kidding. But where I went to school for high school, it was probably about 10% LDS.
So, okay.
You got a good mix of LDS and non-LDS.
Mm-hmm. Did you do early morning seminary?
I did, actually, early morning seminary all 4 years.
Right on. Wow, you're a trooper. Nice. And Kaylee, where are you from?
Well, I'm an implant in Phoenix. I was born in Kansas, grew up in Chicago, and then moved in the middle of high school down to Arizona.
Gotcha. And and you two met each other there?
Yeah, so we've actually been acquaintances for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I graduated high school, I started going to a North Phoenix singles ward, and then that's where we met, and then it was years later when we reacquainted and got married.
Very nice. So was Neil your home teacher?
No, no. We didn't know each other that well. We
were, oh, okay.
Yeah, just acquaintances.
Yeah, we weren't even in the same ward that long.
No, just mostly for the summertime. We'd both be back from school, and we'd see each other in the same ward during the summer.
Okay. And Kaylee, you do not speak Portuguese. I mean, as far as when you moved there, you did not speak any Portuguese.
Well, yeah. So when we first started dating, I didn't know oi from olá.
Wow.
But his company provided some tutoring for me. So I did about 4 months while he was here in Brazil, and I was planning the wedding in Phoenix. I did some one-on-one tutoring. So I learned a little bit, and I thought I was okay. And then I came down here and learned out that I really didn't speak much of Portuguese.
Yeah, we as missionaries that learn languages, we all go through that.
Yeah.
We think, wow, I think I finally got a handle of this thing. And then you actually go to the country or talk to people, and it's not the case. So,
yeah.
And Neil, so you got your mission call, and you're living in Phoenix, and they sent you to Brazil?
Yeah, they sent me to Brazil on a mission call.
What mission did you serve in?
I served in Brazil Campinas mission. So Campinas is just it's actually about an hour and a half north of São Paulo.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
So we've had a chance to go back and visit and see some of those places.
Oh, that's cool.
Mission. Yeah, and actually there were some people that remembered him too in a ward, which is awesome. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So and how did you then you came home from your mission, Neil, and got into the or did you go to college and then got into the insurance industry?
Yeah. So I got home from the mission, went and did school at Ricks College, and I'm dating myself. BYU Idaho.
Yeah.
One of the first graduating classes of BYU Idaho when it turned into a 4-year university. From there, I just started going south, lived in Utah for a little bit, and then made my way back down to Phoenix. I worked as a property manager for rental homes for a handful of years, and then made the switch over to the insurance industry, working on a product called Surety. And I've been there ever since.
Yeah. Well,
no. And is Brazil the first country you've worked in outside of the U.S.?
It is, yeah. It's only been the U.S. and Brazil.
Yeah.
Nice. So when you got the call from your company to go to Brazil, was that an exciting thing for you that you got to go back and use your Portuguese?
Yeah, it was actually an interesting thing. I was looking to actually get out of Phoenix, and there was at that time an opportunity to do an international rotation either in Toronto, Sydney, or London. And London just seemed like it would be a great place to go to learn it, get to see the culture there and everything.
Go see some soccer games.
Go see some soccer games.
Nice.
And so I applied, and during the whole entire interview process, they found out I spoke Portuguese. And at the same time, our division hired a gal that was Brazilian, and she heard that I spoke Portuguese and was very interested. And they approached me with an opportunity to come down to São Paulo. They basically hinted that you're not going to get the London job. If you want to go international, there's an opportunity for you down here in São Paulo. And I was kind of teetering back and forth, but in the end, it seemed like a great opportunity. It would be exciting to go down and see my mission again. And in the end, I accepted the job, and now here we are.
Yeah.
Here you are. Very cool. So, and Kaylee, did you go to any college, or did you get a degree in anything special?
Yeah, so I went to college. I went to a couple different colleges, and I did go to BYU for a little bit too. But I finally finished up in Phoenix, and I graduated in history of all things.
Very nice.
And I was working in the cabinet industry, so two very different.
Like the kitchen cabinet, or you were in a presidential cabinet?
Yeah. Oh, that one would be cool too. No, like kitchen cabinet. So
oh, wow.
It's what my dad has done my whole life. So I grew up helping him and that's
oh, okay.
What I've been doing. And I still do some stuff today to this day. Oh, cool. So it's good.
Some woodworking?
I've done that. Yeah. I've done that before. I've done some install. I've done some of the woodworking, and I've done just about everything in the, in the industry. So,
Well, there you have it. Mm-hmm. And, so then you met the man of your dreams, and he dragged you off to Brazil. How long have you guys been married now?
We've been married for just almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too long. We're pretty much rookies at this, but
yeah.
So no kids yet?
No kids yet. We're trying. We tried for Brazilian, but no go.
Yeah. We wanted a Brazilian.
Like, you wanted to adopt a Brazilian, or?
Yeah, we tried to meet in Brazil, but it didn't work out.
Oh, okay, so and then let's see. Now, you both obviously you're lifelong members, devout members, and mm-hmm. you moved to Brazil, and now you need to jump into the mm-hmm. the LDS culture of Brazil. Not only are you being swamped with this new culture, and obviously yeah. Neil, you're somewhat familiar. But maybe let me ask you that, Kaylee, is just the Brazilian culture. What was your initial few months like in general? What stood out about those memories?
What stood out? I think the biggest thing that stood out was just feeling lost.
Yeah.
And it's the first time I've ever lived outside of the country. So it was really good. It was interesting because I was actually preparing to serve a mission before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it just fit together, you know. And so I was here, and I think here in Sao Paulo, the biggest cultural shock is it's huge. Sao Paulo is a huge city.
Concrete jungle, right?
Yeah, yeah. And like the traffic is just nonstop, and so just getting used to that and getting used to being at home. For long periods of time, you know, in a foreign country by myself, it was fun getting used to that. I think it was a little bit more fun though for Neil trying to get used to the work environment here. A little bit different, but yeah.
So do you guys live in an apartment, in a home, or what's your living situation like there?
Yeah, so we live in an apartment building. A lot of the residential here in Sao Paulo is apartment. That's where most of the middle class lives. So we're in an apartment complex. There's three tall buildings. Each of the buildings are 27 floors, and we live on the 11th floor of one of these buildings.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we overlook one of the rivers here in Sao Paulo. So it's a pretty we're very fortunate where we're at.
Yeah, we also overlook one of the busiest roads here, too, so we can always tell, like, hey, how's the traffic outside? Should we go somewhere? No, it's really bad.
Oh, wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so what's the long-term plan there? How long does your company want you to be there, Neil?
So my assignment was for 2 years. So we are actually nearing the end of it, where we have about three more months left here in Brazil, and then we'll be moving back to the States.
Okay.
So it's mission number two in Brazil. 2 years.
Very nice. But you got to choose your companion this time, so
yeah, much better.
That's a pretty good deal.
A lot prettier.
Nice. So, and then maybe with you, Neil, getting moving back there. Obviously, you're familiar with the LDS culture there, and I know obviously the church is huge, relatively speaking, in Brazil compared to other foreign countries. In regards to like your ward, is it? Can you walk across your ward, or is it still? I mean, how long would it take to drive from one end of your ward to the next?
Well, our ward actually, we're in the São Paulo Interlagos mission. We're the northernmost ward of this mission, and ours is one of the larger boundaries as far as being in the São Paulo city.
Oh, okay.
So it actually would take quite some time to get from the north to the south. It's not a large area if you talk in terms of miles and kilometers. It's probably only a handful. I would say probably like 5 miles tall and 5 miles wide, something like that. So it's not the biggest, but within that, we're probably talking more than 1 million people living in that area.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, lots of missionary work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people of all walks of life living in that 5x5, I would say, area.
Yeah, well, and our bishop lives down by this mall, and it took us, it's not that far away when you speak like distance-wise, but one night it took us an hour and a half to 2 hours just to go, I think it was about 2 miles,
yeah,
right?
Oh, wow. By car?
Yeah, by car. It's 2 kilometers.
Yeah, we could have walked faster. It was
Oh, wow.
Easy. Yeah.
So it's just sometimes just congestion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll get that a lot in Sao Paulo, just traffic. It can get pretty, especially during the rush hours. And rush hour here at nighttime is anywhere from 4 o'clock till 10 o'clock.
So. Yeah, it's insane.
Wow. So, Kate, how would you say your Portuguese is at this point?
Well, I think I'm a little bit harder on myself. Most people say that I'm fluent, but I still feel, you know, it's not my first language. So I can get by. I can communicate. I can give a talk in state conference. But... Yeah,
nice.
I'd like to bargain on you and say that Kaylee is fluent in Portuguese.
Okay.
The language. Many of the members are impressed how she's only learned it in a short amount of time. She speaks with less accent than I do, which sometimes makes me a little bit envious and angry at times. And while maybe her vocab isn't the biggest, and sometimes maybe she misses some points as far as understanding, she is definitely fluent in Portuguese and does a fantastic job serving in her calling and everything.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Using Portuguese.
Thanks.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, about the opportunities you've had to serve. Neil, when you got there, is that when they made you the executive secretary?
It was I would say it's more like the ward clerk is what it would be.
Oh, the ward clerk. But it sounds, in Portuguese, they probably call it a secretary, right?
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's basically the ward clerk.
It is. And I received that calling probably about 2 months after being here in Brazil, I would say.
Well, yeah, the first person you ran into was the other American who was in the bishopric at the time.
Yeah.
First Sunday, first person you ran into. So, and then.
Yeah, so I was made, just shortly after getting here, I was made the ward clerk here in our ward.
Oh, cool. And then from there, you went to the bishopric as the first counselor?
Yeah, so I served as ward clerk for a handful of months, and about a year ago is when I was called to be the first counselor, and it was actually coincided with the other first counselor, who was American, left Brazil. Their assignment was up, and they went back to the States, and they felt inspired to call me.
Nice. So how did that call go down? Were you sort of blindsided by it?
Yeah. I wasn't really blindsided at all. I kind of was getting the hints that it was coming our way. I was already helping out the bishopric being the ward clerk. So I was already involved in the day-to-day activities. And they had one American leaving, and I think they felt strongly to have another American. So when the call came, I wasn't really too surprised. In fact, I saw one of the members of the state presidency. That was President Chulieta.
Yeah.
Was here, and I'm like, uh-oh.
It's coming.
It's happening.
He said he wanted to talk to me. Yeah, I know what's happening.
Oh, boy. So did you become a high priest at that point?
I did.
Okay. Was your father able to fly down, or
no?
How did that work out?
No, actually, he wasn't. So I was actually received I can't think of the word in English now.
Your ordination?
Ordination, yeah. I was going to say
ordination.
Ordination.
Yeah. Yeah, I received that from the state president. And so that was kind of cool. And he, shortly after there, provided the line of authority, which is really cool to see where his came from. And then going through all
And it's in Portuguese, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is in Portuguese. So that's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
Great experience. So for you, Kaylee, then you get to Brazil, and you don't speak much of Portuguese at all. What was that first 6 months like in terms of in your ward experiencing Brazilian LDS culture?
You know, it was really awesome because the people here are just wonderful. And so they're really, really, really awesome when you're trying to learn a new language, when you're trying to learn Portuguese. And they were just so amazing and so helpful. And there were some that spoke English too. And so I was able to form some friendships and some relationships. And, you know, and then I was called to the English Sunday school teacher. So I'm like, this is awesome. Something I can do.
Yeah, so how does that work? They have a class just for English people?
They had it.
English speakers?
They had it just for that short period of time.
Yeah, we at the time had about 3 or 4 American families in the ward, and we just felt inspired to have an American Sunday school. It's a very small class of upwards of, I think maximum was 8 people.
Yeah.
The minimum was about 3 or 4.
3.
So it's very cool. There's intimate discussions.
Yeah.
And eventually that faded away, but that's what kind of drove that calling.
Yeah, so I team taught with the wife of another English couple. Or American couple. So, yeah. And we, you know, we actually have a lot of American visitors too in our ward. So we would get some in. And so we would have that English Sunday school, but we don't have it right now anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me the story of how they called you as the second counselor in Young Women's and then, which led to as the president of the Young Women's.
Yeah. So I was pretty surprised. I was really surprised. It was actually the other counselor, the other American, and called me in as a counselor in the Young Women. And I was just kind of, blown away. I wasn't expecting that really. And I felt pretty lost for the first little bit, but luckily the president and the other counselor both spoke English. But everything was done in Portuguese. Like every once in a while they'd help me, you know, here and there, but all the meetings, everything and all the young women, they all spoke Portuguese. So it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. So did you, I assume at that point you weren't doing a lot of teaching on Sunday in Portuguese? Or?
No. And I, you know, they got me teaching pretty quickly. They were pretty amazing. You know, it was pretty supportive and everything. But yeah, so I think maybe like a month or so in, I actually was able to teach. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't too long before they threw me in there and, you know, you get by. I'm sure most missionaries can appreciate that or understand that. You just kind of
and I'm sure that's where a lot of your fluent experience comes from in Portuguese, is just having those challenges that where you really have to articulate in that language.
Yeah, and you know, for the most part, it's funny because my counselors now they can read my mind. They can kind of know. So like it's a little bit harder at first. A lot of it is learning different personalities of different people with communication. So there's a lot of that where at first you it's harder to understand, and it's harder for them to understand you. But then once you get to know each other more, it gets easier and easier.
Sure. Nice. So is girls camp a thing?
No, it's not.
What?
I know. And that was so funny. I was really excited to do girls camp. And then, so they do something, it's kind of like EFY here, but they got in trouble for calling it EFY. So then they had to call it FSY.
Okay.
For the strength of youth, or F-E-Y, right? No, they say FSY here.
Yeah. I think I interviewed someone from Brazil and they had the same problem. They started calling EDFY and then had to change to the For Strength of Youth. So.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really interesting. But you know, the leaders in the ward, they don't get to go. So, they have, because it's just like EFY, you know. So they have their counselors that are, I guess, hired for that. I don't know if they.
And so that's like a week long type of activity in the summer. Or?
So yeah, it's just a little bit under a week. It's probably about 4 or 5 days, and it actually coincides with Carnival, which is kind of like the Mardi Gras type holiday down here in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So it's been done for quite some time down here. When that holiday hits, a lot of people, a lot of the wards and stuff will send their youth out on camping trips or on gatherings.
Put them on a bus and get them out of
town. Get away from the city.
Get them away from the influence. Put them in a good environment. And just this last year was the first time that our stake participated in the FSY. Before that, they've done other complementals, other
camps.
camping trips.
So it was really, really good. It's a really awesome experience. And it's good to see strong programs like that.
Yeah.
Here in Brazil.
Gotcha. So what would you say, you know, looking at your young women program, what are the dominant differences that maybe an American young women class or, you know, Lara class, whatever it is, wouldn't experience?
Yeah. So first of all, there's a lot less youth and there's places in the States that have less youth as well.
Right.
But, you know, you have to, you know, you don't have individual class presidencies. Mm-hmm. You don't separate for classes. Mutuals on Saturdays, which is not the funnest, but they have.
So why is that? Is it weekdays just don't work in the culture?
It's just crazy with the traffic and everything. And they also have seminary during the week at night. So, So seminary is on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. For all of the youth in the ward at the ward building. So,
and do those teachers for seminary just come out of the wards that it's a calling, or they don't have professional teachers there?
No, not professional. It's a calling. Okay. So actually one of my counselors is one of the seminary teachers. So, and she's only like 19, 20 herself. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. Most of the leaders, a lot of the leaders that we have now are really young, leading in the youth, which is awesome.
Nice. So if you came back to America and was called into Young Women's Presidency, what message would you have for an American auxiliary leader? How are we spoiled here that what you had there? I guess girls camp is one thing.
Yeah, girls camp. Gosh, that's a good question. You know, something that is really different here that I think we take for granted in the States is everything from the church, almost everything is in English. Everything comes out in English. And the church does an amazing job at translating everything. But when you have to teach classes and you're trying to find videos or you're trying to find quotes, you know, you're trying to find references, they've done a really good job. But a lot of the videos and stuff, they're dubbed, you know, or with translations. And so it's, you know, there's just little things like that we don't really realize in the States. And I think there might be a little bit of differences in the way that it's run. I think here they're still kind of getting into a groove of like meetings, like efficiency in meetings. So I think when I talk to my sister-in-law, she has a calling in young women out there in the States, and she's like, the young women do everything. they just run it.
Wow.
And I'm like, that must be really nice.
Yeah.
So
you have to really take the lead a lot more than maybe a more established LDS ward in Utah or in the States, right?
Yeah, and I think some of the young women are amazing, and I think one of the things here, and maybe it's just our ward, I don't know. Just with our experience, there's a lot of new members. We've had a couple of girls who are newly baptized. We have some that don't necessarily have a strong family in the gospel. So it's all kind of new for them. So there's others that are a little bit more, have done it a little bit more. And I think they kind of get tired of it because they're the ones doing a lot of stuff. But they're amazing. The youth in our ward, they're fantastic. They're so amazing. But I think there's kind of just that, like, getting used to certain things a little bit different down here culturally.
Yeah, Kurt. Okay. One thing I've noticed too, I've had a chance to work with the youth a little bit with my calling as first counselor. I'm not the counselor that we are responsible over the youth, but just going to a lot of the activities because I go with Kaylee. So I've gotten to know them. One thing I noticed that in the States, there seems to be a lot more family support. And that can just come with the church being more mature and having generations of family in the gospel. As Kaylee mentioned, there's a lot of new members in the church here, a lot of our youth. A lot of them take the decision to get baptized, and their family chooses not to for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of flying solo. And I think that influences a lot, too, in our programs when we're trying to cater to the youth. In the States, there's a lot of family support, so if we need to get something done, the family really helps push that. Where here in the States,
it's here in Brazil, yeah.
Here in Brazil, the leaders really kind of take that responsibility to help out the youth. For example, in the young women's, they're trying to get their,
personal progress.
And a lot of it is just, the young women are receiving a lot of push and help from the leaders because unfortunately their parents are in the church and so they don't have any support back in the family.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I've noticed in general. And that, I don't know if that's specific to our ward here in São Paulo, but I have a feeling that's more Brazil-wide since the church is a lot newer than it is in the States.
Yeah, it's pretty mature here, but it's still newer than in the States.
You know, because the church has grown quite a bit here in Brazil, too, over the past few years. You know, when I came to my mission, I can't remember how many missions there were, but since then, my mission's even split up, and there's just a lot more members down here, and the missionary work is just exploding still down here.
Yeah.
So with that growth, you do run into that occasionally.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, and is it just sort of one of those things that there's not much you can do as a youth leader to encourage the parents to help? It is what it is type of thing?
I would say it's a bit of it is what it is, but we do try to get the parents involved as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The one thing that is really nice is when we have the, what was the thing you did last year?
It's fun to speak in English, huh?
It's fun to speak in English. These activities are in English. Excelencia das Moças.
Excelencia das Moças. Young Women in Excellence.
Yeah, so the Young Women in Excellence is a great opportunity for us to invite out the family members.
Yeah.
And that was great last year. There was a little bit of some family members we haven't seen into the church come and participate and watch us. That was really neat.
Yeah, and there's been a few baptisms too lately, and some of them have been. One of them was a mother of one of the youth. So
yeah,
that was really awesome.
Yeah, it was one actually three of her kids and one of her would be nephews or.
Yeah.
they're all members of the church, and she's had a relationship with the church, knows about the church, would come to activities, and she finally decided to, to be baptized. She's really, really aware of everything, and she finally developed a testimony. And about a month ago, she was baptized, and it's great to see her.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to see the youth and the examples that they set here for their families, and to see, like, you can see into the future, and you can see how they're going to be the leaders, you know, of the church. And and then they can have their families and have strong families in the gospel.
There's one individual I can think of in our ward. His sisters were baptized, and then his mom was baptized before he was.
Yeah.
And then out of the blue, he was taking the lessons, of course, the discussions and everything, and he decided he was going to baptize, and he surprised his mom on that Sunday.
Oh my goodness.
It was announced and she just like screamed so loud.
Yeah, she screamed in the back of the building. It was
her. Oh wow. It was great surprise.
Yeah.
Great surprise.
And it's a testament to see how strong the youth is here, but he's now getting the priesthood to that family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confident in about a year he's gonna go on a mission. That's just gonna bring more blessings to this family. It's a family that's not in the most friendly of economic situations that has their struggles. But ever since I think he's become a member of the church, they've seen the blessings. And Satan's worked hard. There's been a few things that's hit their family. But they've gathered together as a family. And I think he's taken that responsibility to be the priesthood leader, even though he's, just a priest. He's really matured. And I can actually see him, too, helping out the rest of the young men, too. Being a new member of just a few months, he understands it. And he's just going to grow as he continues to grow in the gospel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's inspiring.
It's awesome to see the missionary work and see how it just seems like it's just more on fire down here,
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely that those people have been prepared. You know, there's definitely a contrast for maybe some experiences people are having in Europe, but we pray for them nonetheless. So,
yeah.
So they asked you to speak in state conference, Gailey.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
I know. What were they thinking?
Tell us about that experience. How did that go down?
Well, so we were called to be the choir leaders as well. So we were leading in the choir, practicing. We had a couple months to practice. Neil was playing the piano and I was up there making a fool of myself and I've never led a choir before, you know. I've just been in choir before. And one of those, I think it was after practice one day, the state president came up and he's like, you know, I honestly don't remember what language he was speaking because he speaks a little bit of English.
Yeah, so President Chilera came up and he did the pathway program, in fact.
Yeah.
He dropped that up. And so he came up practicing his English with Tim. He did it in English.
It wasn't English? I don't even remember. I don't remember anymore.
He talked.
That's how fluent you are, Kaylee. Don't even remember.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, how would you like to speak in state conference? I was like, oh, well, I guess I can't say no, right? and then one of the other counselors, he started talking in Portuguese, and he told me the title of the talk that they wanted me to talk about, and he said it in Portuguese, and I immediately knew what it was. And it was actually from a CES fireside from like years ago, 2009, I think. And so I remembered what it was. It was Things as They Really Are by Elder Ben Arms. Like, awesome. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Of course, I'll talk on that. So.
Great. And it went well. You stood up there with confidence and had everybody in tears.
I don't know if they were in tears, but it was actually really funny because we had four Americans speak in that session. So we had two sessions that morning. And there was a daughter of an American family in another ward. She spoke, and then I spoke, and then also the mission president, his wife spoke. but you know, from what everyone said, they could understand it. And, so that was really good. They said my pronunciation was really good. So
there's Kaylee being humble again.
You know, let's not have that. Tell us what really happened, Neil.
No, it's good to be humbled. She did a fantastic job up there, you know, and of course had a great presentation. But the way she presented the talk, it really brought the spirit there. And there was one person in particular I can remember. He was visiting, and he actually said he was touched by it. It was a member in our ward. His dad, this member, he's blind, so his dad always drops him off at church, and we invited him to come to state conference because his son was also speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, yeah.
And he was actually touched by Kaylee's talk. I think he was touched by quite a bit of the other ones too, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's a great thing. There was many members that came up afterwards and said it was a great talk. They learned a lot. They felt the spirit.
Yeah. Well, and I really attribute that to, in a lot of ways, to the choir. Our choir was amazing. How they were able to invite the spirit. It felt like just a different kind of state conference than anyone that I've ever been in. The spirit was really, really strong. And I think a lot of it was because of the choir. They were really prepared well for that.
Awesome. Very cool. I'm glad it went well. Neil, I want to pivot a little bit over to you. Just speaking from your experience in the bishopric there, obviously, you've seen many bishoprics function in the States. Anything that surprised you with your experience in the bishopric so far?
I wouldn't say surprised me. it's been a great learning experience is what I can say. I've had a chance to work with bishoprics quite a bit. I served back in as a singles ward. I served as an executive secretary and really got to know and love that bishopric quite a bit. They really helped me. And then moving down here to Brazil, got a chance to serve as the ward clerk and got to know a little bit more how the bishopric runs. And then got called to the first counselor and felt like I was thrown in the deep end. Bishop did a great job instructing, but you just learn a lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the one thing I think my eyes were open to everything that's going on. And my eyes were also open to how much to get to know the bishop better. He's a, he's a great man. He's got strong opinions. But the one thing I know is that he loves each member of the ward, and he really tries to do his best to be the shepherd of the ward and of the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you can tell when you're talking with the man, and then sometimes you can tell when you're talking with the bishop. And that's one thing I really have enjoyed, is getting to know him better.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are the main concerns or issues that the bishop or bishopric faces in your ward day to day, week to week?
Well, I would say one of the issues we've been particularly talking about is just reverence. Brazilians in general are very friendly people that love to talk. And sometimes I think that talking can kind of get in the way when you're trying to set the mood for a meeting. Not saying you can't talk before a meeting, but Brazilians, they'll find any spot of time to just start talking. Let's start a conversation. And they are a friendly people. Sometimes it's tough. Is to just get everyone reverent for the meeting. So that's something we talk quite a bit about.
Well, and our ward has sacrament last too, which makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, so people are already riled up.
Yeah. They are riled up, and then we got to settle down for sacrament meeting. I think it's go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to think just another issue too that we face here as a bishopric too, is just the welfare issue. We do live in a very, very well-off ward for the most part here in Brazil, and there's some members of our ward that are extremely wealthy, I would say, for Brazilian standards, and there's a solid middle class. But there's also a handful of members, too, that are not in that same economic situation. So there's a lot of discussions about welfare and how we can serve these families and what we can do for them. Be it employment, be it, you know, getting them food or service or whatever it is. And that's always something that's on our mind too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is it the type of situation where these, the families that need help are sort of, they come and go, you know, they're just sort of replaced with a new family that needs help, or are you able to see families progress through this poverty, kind of get a job and get on their feet?
Yeah. I think we've seen both. We've seen the families get on their feet and move on, and we've seen other ones that struggle and they come and go out, come and go. And right now in Brazil, actually, it's been a rough as far as the economy. The economy is in a recession, and it's brought a lot of hardships on a lot of people. And we've seen a few that some of those situations in our ward in particular.
Yeah, a lot of political issues too going on right now.
Did something happen with the president there?
Yeah,
she was recently impeached.
So
that's what's going on.
Like literally, like she's gone.
Well,
she's in the process.
She's out of office.
It's always a long story in Brazil, right?
Yeah, she's out of office, but she has a 6-month appeal. And I think we're 1 month of her out of office. So we'll see where that goes. It's a lot of uncertainty here in Brazil.
Mm-hmm. So that's spilling over into the economy, I bet.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's also an exciting time. I think Brazil's on the verge of some good changes. You know, it's a country with good people that want the best for their country. They love their country. They love their families.
Yeah.
And I hope that this is a move forward for the Brazilian people.
Yeah. Well, and the demonstrations have been really peaceful too. There's been huge demonstrations, and it's been amazing how peaceful it's been. So
interesting. Mm-hmm. Things are happening.
Yeah. Things are happening.
So Neil, going back to the welfare issue, what's the basic management of that look like? I mean, when I served as bishop in an inner city ward, it was so overwhelming that the church assigned 4 inner city missionaries from outside stakes to come in and help me manage all that. Right.
Wow.
So is it something that you're involved with as a counselor a lot? I mean, are people knocking down his door, just asking for, you know, fast offering funds? What's that like, the basic management of all that?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound as dire as the situation you were in. And I think it does maybe come back to the part two is where we're at as far as our ward demographics. So the bishop actually handles all of them. He's been able to handle them, without any problem either. It hasn't been too much a drain. It's a blessing too. Our bishop, he's retired professionally, but he's young. And so he dedicates a lot of time to church service, and he's able to juggle all of that. Fortunately for us counselors, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, good. Wow, interesting. And then going back to the reverence issue, any specific tactics you've tried to conquer that?
We've tried everything from talks to you know, playing, you know, the prelude music before, to singing before. Some things work, some things don't, but it seems like after some things are implemented, it's back to the old way. So I think it's just, I think it's greater than just our ward. I think it's a cultural thing that we just have to work with. It's not that the people are trying to be irreverent. They're just not quite focused on when is the time.
Right.
Because once we get them sat down and quiet, and it usually comes with us announced, you know, saying welcome, everyone kind of finds their seat, then they do become very, very reverent. In fact, I think some of our meetings, too, are a lot more reverent than some I've been in the States.
Yeah.
The kids are, for the most part, very well behaved. Mm-hmm. People don't really talk much during the meetings, which is great. So that's refreshing.
And I think it's definitely, to some extent, it's all relative, but it's a Mormon problem, right? I know in our stake, it's something we talk about that, but I'm sure if a Brazilian stake presidency came and looked at some of our wards, they'd think, wow, everybody's just quiet.
You just need to stop being so friendly, right?
I know. Just stop talking to each other.
Stop loving each other, right?
One thing you put in your notes that I'm interested in hearing about is that the issues that are going on in the States with the church aren't felt down here, aren't felt down in Brazil. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so there's been a couple things while we've been down here. Different announcements by the church or different things.
Different movements by some organizations, too.
That, you know, I go on Facebook and I see all of my friends talking about it, and it's a huge deal. And people are like, I don't agree with this. I'm considering leaving the church, and, you know, like really, you know, big issues going on in the States, and no one knows anything about it down here. You just don't talk about it. It's not. Yeah.
And just to touch on that, you know, some of them do hear about it. I was talking with Bishop one day, and he was worried about it. And I was telling him how it was a big deal in the States, and he's like, why is it a big deal? We already know what the prophet said on it. it was back to the basics. It's so simple. We have the mouthpiece of the Lord giving us some instructions. Why is it a problem?
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's just interesting how, like, being on another end, being in a different culture, looking at it from a different perspective, you know, you see the things in the church that are more cultural, you know, and then you see the things in the church that are more doctrinal. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So I'm just curious to pick this apart a little bit, see what I can learn. But for example, I would imagine there's a lot of talk on the social medias up here when the handbook change came about the children of homosexual couples, mm-hmm. right? That they can't get baptized until they're 18, and I mean, we all know that. So when that came out, it didn't even really make a blip on the radar down there.
I didn't hear anyone talking about it.
They announced
it. Was just
it.
Americans.
Yeah, they announced it, and that's the last we heard of it.
Yeah.
Interesting. I would imagine, is gay marriage legal in Brazil?
I think you got me there. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question.
But there is some, you know, there is a gay community and everything down here, but I don't think it's as what we see in the States, too.
I don't think it's as political. Like, it's very, Sao Paulo, I think, is pretty, there's a lot of, like, liberal factions here.
There are.
And it's they're very open, you know, about being, like, tolerant and everything. But it's not as much political, I don't think.
It isn't, and sometimes I think they don't see it as much of a big deal as we see it.
Yeah.
And they say, well, that's how it is, and then there's probably a reason for that, so okay. And, of course, too, I don't know as many homosexual couples down here or members down here either. So I don't know if that has as much of a big impact too on it.
And I guess the reason I asked that, I'm just wondering if the culture of Brazil has sort of moved past that issue, that even the members of the church are sort of over it, you know. But I did just Google same-sex has been legal, or same-sex marriage has been legal in Brazil since May 16th, 2013.
Okay.
So
recently,
yeah,
which is very recently. Okay. So maybe they just sort of approach those types of issues differently politically, right? They're not hammering it out or debating it out, you know, on your CNN down there or whatever.
Yeah,
it sort of spills over to the religious cultures as well. I don't know.
Maybe they do, and we just don't. Maybe we're not in those circles talking about it. I don't know.
Yeah
it could be
interesting.
It could be a thing. It's just we didn't hear anything about it. It wasn't much of an issue with what we noticed. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, and it makes me wonder, you know, not that we need to get into deep discussion about this, but just from this perspective of, you know, the general authorities, the Quorum of the 12, when maybe, you know, the individuals or members in the United States do, or groups that are sort of trying to influence the church within the United States, mm-hmm. sort of bring up these issues, and they're so confused why they're not addressing it more directly, but on an international scope of things, they may be thinking, listen, like, you're one country. We happen to be based there, but this is one country. We're going to just move the kingdom forward, and sure, we'll put out press releases and things to respond to some of these things, but it really isn't the issue of the church. That when you're in Utah and on Facebook when those things happen, it feels that way. Like, oh my goodness, like, what are they going to say?
Yeah, and that's something that I've really, really, really learned being in another country, is really realizing and understanding the whole, you know, what is the purpose? Like, what do the Quorum of the 12 do? You know, what does the prophet do? Like, what is their position? And they're speaking for a global, you know, worldwide church, and they have to speak. It's just different. And so, you know, it makes their decisions that they make a little bit more sense. And, you know, Neil and I were talking about it a little bit too. You know, there's some countries where polygamy is legal, you know, and so it's just it's easy to get into your little world, especially because the church is an American church. You know, it was founded in America. Everything is based in English. It seems like we kind of get stuck in that sense of, oh yeah, you know, these issues are issues all over the world. Not necessarily.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, and just to round out the interview here, I want to ask maybe both you questions in relation to your calling that are more of a practical nature. How does home teaching work there? Have you guys figured it out down there? Because we'd like to know.
Yeah,
to implement it here.
And we're probably on the same page as this.
Yeah,
we have not figured it out, and probably a little bit worse. At least our ward is not as good as I think the church average.
Yeah.
And they probably,
does it make sense with the culture there? Or, I mean, the basic model. Or, I mean, do they like visiting in each other's homes?
No, they like visiting people, but I think when it comes to, hey, go visit this family here, then they're, whoa, wait a second, you know? It's the same excuses, the same things you deal with in the States. And then just, I think, throw that on top of here in Sao Paulo where the traffic's horrendous.
Yeah.
It just leaves a lot more room for excuses to not go do it.
Yeah, well, in every second that you don't have at work, it seems like it's at church, you know, with a lot of people in the ward that are really active in their callings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time spent at the church.
And I can understand some of those struggles too. I'm not going to say I'm the best saint at being home teaching down here too in Brazil. I've done some, and I've had some other times where it's been really rough. And there are some real challenges with getting around a little bit. But I think what I've learned is if you understand it and want to do it, you can do it. It comes down to that being simple. If you want to do it, you can do it. You can find a way. If you don't want to do it, you can find 100 excuses. It's very easy to find an excuse, no matter where you live.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And I know I'm just all over the map here with my questions, but going back to Kaylee, I'm just trying to think of, like, problems that we face here. I'm curious if they're there. Does every young woman have a smartphone and is constantly on it during
yes.
class?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a thing there.
Still a thing, yes. All of the youth, no matter what the situation is, it seems like, maybe not every single one of them, but yeah, they have cell phones. A lot of times the screens are broken and, you know, they're using it to the very end, but
that's probably an international problem for sure.
A problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and do you do as a youth leader to stay in touch with the youth through social media or through their media?
Yeah. So the big thing here in Brazil is called WhatsApp.
Okay. And I think Facebook owns that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and actually it's funny, there's a lot of like legal stuff going on with WhatsApp and Facebook too. So there's been like one day where it was shut down, but, that's how we do all of our communicating. You can do groups and, you know, and that's how I communicate. And, you know, some of the youth have families. And so it's like, well, one of them has a cell phone, so I can send a message to this person, or I can send a message to this one's mom, you know? So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, is Snapchat a big thing for the youth there?
It is. I haven't seen it too much with our youth, but it is a big thing with the youth in general down here in Brazil.
Okay. Because tomorrow, at the time of this recording, there is June 3rd, and tomorrow I'm releasing an episode about Snapchat and the youth. So you got to tune in.
Oh, yeah.
it's a good one.
Good.
But maybe it's different for Brazilian youth, but nonetheless. And then what about just like the tools you use to coordinate in the bishopric or in your young women presidency? Any tools, apps, or things you use that are worth mentioning?
Yeah, I guess we do the old-fashioned email. I guess that's old-fashioned.
Okay, old school, nice.
Yeah. Excel spreadsheets.
And we do also our bishopric. We use WhatsApp quite a bit too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Get back and forth. And it's great. We've created all the Indianapolis bishopric group, which I'm part of. And so nice. we talk about some issues that we need to deal with. We've also created also for our ward council and for the executive committee. They create a group for everything.
Yeah.
And these are groups in WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I need to look into that. We use, in our presidency, we use Slack a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with Slack, but... You know, we have groups and you can talk to, you know, people directly, but interesting.
Yeah.
I need to spend some time with WhatsApp.
It's not super technological here. I don't know. It's interesting because, yeah. I mean,
you're not a third world country by any means.
No, but it's, I don't know. The internet is sometimes spotty and, you know, I thought about making a website for our young women. I'm like, I don't even know if they'll use this, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's not everyone has computers in their home too. So that's something you have to think about as well.
But most adults, do they have smartphones?
I think so.
Yeah, most do. And at least someone in a family usually has a smartphone.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, this has been intriguing. I've learned much about Brazil, and I guess, are you guys going to go to the Olympics? I don't even know how far away is the Olympics.
That's in Rio.
Yeah, we've talked about it, and we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when it comes. We're probably leaning not.
Yeah.
Not because of all the issues going on, but it's just going to be crowded, and we'd rather go into other parts of Brazil before we leave.
And Brazil's already crowded, so.
Yeah, it's about a 5 to 6 hour drive, right?
Yeah, it's a 5 to 6 hour drive.
And like an hour flight, so yeah.
Well, the last question I want to ask you too, and maybe we'll start with you, Neil, and then Kaylee, you can finish us off here. But as you look at your time in Brazil, you know, I've had some great opportunities of serving as cleric now in the state prisoner, bishopric. Sorry, as you've had those leadership opportunities, how have they made you a better disciple of Jesus Christ?
Well, I've seen myself grow over the past year and a half here in Brazil. Sometimes when we take on these new responsibilities, you think, well, how in the heck am I going to be able to do this? What value can I bring to the table? What do they see in me? And I think I'm a pretty confident person as it goes. And sometimes I'm a little bit overconfident. But when I got into these callings, I think I took a step back and said, why me? And it made me reflect a little bit more on trying to rely on the Lord and try to do His will. And I've tried harder to pray for not only our family, but for the members of the ward. And I think that's how I've tried to become a better disciple of Christ, is just try to focus on my prayers and my thoughts on the members of the ward and their needs. And I know for sure that the Lord has blessed our family as I've tried to do that. He's blessed people in the ward too because of that. It's been a great learning experience for me, and I'm by no means, Kurt, am I perfect. I have a lot of flaws, and sure. I try to do my best with a smile. But I am very grateful to that I've been called to these callings, these spots, because I've been able to see the hand of the Lord in our lives, in the lives of members of our ward. It's been such a blessing. It's been brought some joy to me and to Kaylee. It's brought a big smile to my face too.
Yeah. Well, and we know you're not perfect, but I know many Brazilians would argue you're closer to heaven right now than I am. So
right. No, they're closer to heaven.
Nice. Well, Kaylee, what about you? As you've had opportunity to serve with the youth and young women's, how has that experience made you a better disciple of Jesus Christ?
You know, as I thought about this question, like the thing that kept coming to mind was like, how has it not, you know, it just seems like in every way, whenever we're able to serve and, you know, I speaking a little bit, selfishly on my end, being able to serve and having the opportunity to serve has been a godsend for me. Being in a new country, all these new experiences and just the opportunity to serve and to think outside of yourself, and to devote your time to other people, and to try to help others. I mean, that's exactly what the Savior did. And, you know, so for me, it's like, how does it not help me become a better disciple? And, you know, I've been able to, yeah, like really learn how to rely more on the Lord and to realize, and, you know, as you read the scriptures and you hear about all of the different prophets or disciples of Jesus Christ and all of the problems that they had as well and all of the ways that they felt inadequate, you know, right when I was called, I just kept thinking about Moses, you know, and he was like, I'm not eloquent in speech, you know, I can't do this, why me? And it's the same thing for all of us, you know, we're all strengthened when we rely on the Lord and trust in Him above all.
That concludes my interview with the Mortensons. I sort of have this weird desire to move to a different country and just see what it's like for a while. I'm sort of coveting their experience. What a fantastic experience. And to be among those people in a beautiful country and experience that, what an opportunity. I hope you benefited from that. And they come back in September, so it'll be great to have them back on the homeland. And I'm sure they'll have many more opportunities to serve here in the States. So you're probably wondering at this point, how on earth is this fantastic podcast available? Well, it doesn't just magically happen. It does take some effort and some resources behind the scenes. And so all we ask at Leading LDS is that you contribute $1 a month. Now, come on, 99.9% of you have a dollar that you can give every month to what we're doing at Leading LDS. And it would go so far if you were able to give that dollar a month. And so if you go to leadinglds.com/help, and there's a link there to contribute to our Patreon page and give that dollar. Hey, more, you can give more if you want. I won't fight you on that. Okay. And there's a variety of other ways that you of things that you can do on that page at Leading LDS that's going to help contribute to what we're doing and help keep this ship a-churning. So until next time, be a leader and not a calling.